Compelling, intriguing talk on Bill Bennett's Morning in America.
Good morning. It is Bill Bennett's Morning in America. It is Thursday, November 18th, 2010. Seth Leibson, privileged to be in for Bill Bennett today. Equally privileged to be joined by our guest right now, Bob Morrison, Robert G. Morrison. He's a senior fellow of the Family Research Council, one of my oldest and best friends in Washington, one of the great men of Washington. It's a little Charlie Pride coming in, Bob, from Sledge, Mississippi. Nice to hear his voice, but it's better to hear yours. How are you, Bob?
Well, I can't claim to have a better voice than Charlie Pride, but it's wonderful to be with you.
Bob, I had invited you on today because I wanted to talk about some of the issues you and I had been talking about and thinking about, some of the things the Republican majority in the House and the new senators could start undertaking on domestic policy after they deal with issues of the deficit debt, health care reform. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. But before we got there, we have to deal with yesterday's news, last night's news, about the acquittal on over 200 counts of murder, terrorism, and conspiracy of an al-Qaeda terrorist. We did it differently once upon a time here in America, not so long ago, a time my dad would remember, a time you probably remember, didn't we?
I don't remember it, Seth, but my dad would remember it, too. And we're talking about 1942.
Yes, we are.
The famous case of the Nazi saboteurs, the eight German saboteurs sent by the Nazi government into the United States in mid-June 1942. These eight saboteurs were captured, many of them on Long Island, by a Coast Guard coastal patrol, I'm glad to say.
Yep.
This was handled with dispatch. This was handled with fairness, with justice, but with dispatch. There was not. This was done in a very professional way, and this is it stands in sharp contrast to the dithering and the failure that we see all around us today on this very question. What were those saboteurs going to do? The very same thing that Gailani was accused of doing in East Africa, the very same thing that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did do at World Trade Center and at the Pentagon. So the argument then was that that the president didn't have authority to subject these eight saboteurs to military tribunals. The Supreme Court said most emphatically he did have that authority.
Let's get this in perspective a little bit. You had talked about professional dispatch. Franklin Delano Roosevelt wanted these eight, let's call them terrorists for the moment, but saboteurs if one prefers, these eight captured terrorists, not in uniform, not professionally dressed and obeying the rules and laws of war.
Right.
We captured them. We decided to put them in front of a military tribunal to try them. They challenged it in the Supreme Court of the United States that
right.
very same year. We're talking 1942. That very same year in 1942, a unanimous Supreme Court said the military commissions were just fine. That
right.
very same year in 1942, six of the eight were put to death.
Right.
One of them, an American citizen who had joined up with the Nazi cause.
Yeah.
That's how we did it.
That's right. The understanding was that we were at war. The United States had been attacked by Germany and Japan. First Japan at Pearl Harbor, of course, but then Germany declaring war on us. So we were at war, and under the laws of war and the articles of war, as they existed and still exist, these were enemy combatants not entitled to have access to our civilian courts.
No Miranda, no habeas corpus.
None of that.
None of that.
None of that.
In fact, they got death.
Right.
What we got yesterday was what was supposed to be the easy case.
Right.
The easy case of a man with 12 American lives on his hands, hundreds of Africans' lives on his hands, who worked for Osama bin Laden directly, and we got 284 counts against him dismissed.
Right. And so many of those lives, this is a special poignant part, so many of those lives cruelly taken were lives of Kenyans.
Yes.
Our embassy there, more Kenyans were killed than Americans were killed.
Yes.
So it's a bitter irony of the incompetence, the utter and complete incompetence of this administration.
Well, let's talk about just that for a moment, Bob. We're talking to Bob Morrison of the Family Research Council. Bob, let's talk about that for a second, because I have looked, as you have looked, at the the trajectory and statements of this administration, from the president to the attorney general to the secretary of homeland security. They talked about fighting a different kind of war. They blamed the United States in front of a world forum, the United Nations, of engaging in torture. They promised to close Gitmo. They promised to put these terrorists into civilian trials. For that, we got such people and actions as Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalib, Nidal Hassan, Faisal Shassad, and lest we forget, Abdul Hakim Muhammad at the National Guard Center in Arkansas. We got more terrorism.
Precisely. This is Osama bin Laden said it himself, that people in his part of the world look to the strong horse, and we look like we have a swayback nag. That's the sad fact. But in this particular case, after yesterday, you have to look at possibly strike three for our attorney general.
Yes.
He was the one who argued for closing Guantanamo Bay. He can't do it. He was the one who argued for a civilian trial for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in Lower Manhattan. He can't do it, and he now concedes that. And he was the one who argued to put Gailani before a civilian court, and that is a complete failure.
Complete failure that no one was asking for. This was invented out of whole cloth, as far as I can tell, in the mind of President Obama, then Senator Obama, and his administration. This was nothing that was asked for. And lest we forget, if Guantanamo was the cause of terrorism, shall we remind people that there was no Guantanamo on September 10th, or for that matter, 11th, 2001, nor during or when the USS Cole was bombed, or during these African embassy bombings, or in Saudi Arabia during the Khobar Towers, or when the first World Trade Center was hit, or any of the terrorism we had seen before. Perhaps one could cite Beirut in 1983.
Right.
Guantanamo is not the cause of terrorism. They hate us, regardless of whether we have a Guantanamo or not.
Right. My colleague Ken Blackwell has suggested if they were he of course would oppose closing Guantanamo Bay, but if they were absolutely determined to do it and thought they could, there is a facility, a Navy facility at Adak, Alaska, out in the middle of the Aleutian Island chain in the Bering Sea. There are places to do this, but it should have been done.
It should have been done. It should have been done. I was reading about Guantanamo. I wanted to check and see how many prisoners we had there still. About 177 is the answer. But the news story that popped up that I read was from a blogger at the Atlantic Monthly, not a conservative magazine. He had been to Guantanamo. He said, when you walk in, it has the feel of a yacht club.
Oh, my.
The feel of a yacht club. That's what he wrote. Well, that's the major story today. It's going to be another bad day for the Obama administration. But really, you know, I don't want to make a political point of it. It's a worse day for America. I do want to talk politics with you, however, on what I originally had you booked for, Bob, which is thoughts after the midterm elections about what the new Republicans might undertake, the new Republican majority in the House and the new numbers in the Senate might undertake on some of the other things beyond the debt and the deficit and health care, all of which are very important. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, of course, Family Research Council, our organization, was very, very active in arguing for repeal, replace, and restore. So we made the case that the Obamacare health care bill needed to be repealed. So we still maintain that strongly. We want to
Absolutely.
See Obamacare repealed. And it may not be possible to do it fully, although it can be defunded by the House.
Yep.
We don't know that the Senate would go along with that. We hope they would, but even if the House and the Senate were to agree on repeal, President Obama, it would be expected to veto such. But there are things that surely that the House majority could do, and one of the things that we've argued for in the past and are concerned about would be federal so-called family planning Title 10. That is a billion-dollar operation that we've seen in the past and has been there in the federal government since 1970, and our point would be that it is harmful. Title 10 is federally funded so-called family planning clinics, many of them in or near minority neighborhoods. That creates the funding stream for Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the country. Now, through bookkeeping maneuvers, Planned Parenthood is able to say, no, no, we're just doing family planning with the federal money. We use our own money to do the abortions.
Let's stop on that for just a moment. We're talking to Bob Morrison of Family Research Council, because I think this is a fact most Americans do not know.
Right.
Hundreds of millions of dollars are given to Planned Parenthood by United States of American taxpayer money.
Right. Last year, or the last year we have record for, was June 2008. And in that year, Planned Parenthood received $349.6 million of taxpayer money, out of which, of course, they paid some $400,000 to Cecile Richards, their president.
Nice nonprofit salary, that.
Yeah, $400,000 is about 10 times what the average family in America makes.
Yeah.
And this is subsidized by those same working families. And, of course, each year, Planned Parenthood does as many as 350,000 abortions. So you constantly hear in the debates that go on that some of our libertarian friends accuse Family Research Council and social conservatives generally with wanting to get into their bedrooms. Well, this is the funding of putting young people in bedrooms.
There you go. Yeah, this is the funding. And I have to say, whenever I hear that, abortions don't take place in bedrooms, okay?
Right.
They just don't. And that talking point is absolutely silly when the left or the libertarians make it, although I agree with the libertarians on many things. And
sure.
I think that there are some other issues we could find common cause with. I want to keep you another segment, Bob, because we're closing.
This is a money issue where we ought
absolutely.
To agree.
Absolutely.
That. When we think, and there's wonderful teaching about the Constitution, and if we stop and think about it, President Eisenhower, when he was asked if we ought to start doing this, he said, I can't imagine a role more inappropriate for the federal government.
I want to stop it right there and keep you for the next segment, Bob, if you'll stay with us. We're going to rejoin you. If people want to get in on this conversation, the number is 866-680-6464, 866-680-6464. That's toll free. You can call and talk to Bob Morrison and myself about this issue or other thoughts you had on the politics of the day and the things before the Congress here on Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Stay tuned.
Every night and day.
By the sun each morning, put my feet on a hardwood floor. I get to hear my children.
Engaging,
reflective talk.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America, 866-680-6464.
It is Bill Bennett's Morning in America. It is November 18th, 2010. Seth Leibson in for Bill Bennett and joined by Bob Morrison, senior fellow at the Family Research Council. Bob, it's a great day in history. This day commemorates the day the USS Maine was actually launched. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Good for you.
We
have the Maine mast right here in Annapolis.
There you go. You're a man of the water, and I think it was launched not far from your hometown, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
Anyway, we were talking about some domestic policy issues, and we had gone out of the segment when you were talking about Republicans ought to take a look at defunding Planned Parenthood. American taxpayers give hundreds of millions of dollars a year through Title X to Planned Parenthood. It is a travesty. Even Dwight Eisenhower, that moderate Republican, was against it. Do I have that right?
You have that absolutely right. He said, don't start. And Reagan said, stop it for 8 years in a row. Ronald Reagan, as president, said, zero it out. Don't give any money to such.
You know, it seems to me, I don't remember where I read this. It may have been in Gary Bauer's column or somewhere else, but it seems to me it's true. Someone recently said, whenever we talk about abortion these days in public policy, we don't really talk about the right or wrong of abortion anymore. We talk about various procedures we try to curtail and the funding of it. Fine enough, I suppose, as a starting point. We need to start small and move public opinion as we go. But this one should not be a hard one. This one should not be a hard one. Public money, hundreds of millions, to fund abortions.
Right. And, no, I want to be careful on that. The Obamacare Bill, one of the major reasons we oppose it is because it does fund abortion, or it will fund abortion. So we oppose that. And all those faux-life Democrats who tried to say we're pro-life, but we're voting for Obamacare, most of them were turned out of office. And that's a key point. But the Title X program does not fund the actual killing of unborn children. However, it does fund the killers of unborn children. That's
right.
The sad part.
Right, because of the fungibility. We have calls on this, actually. This looks interesting. I want to take it with you. Greg from Louisville. Greg is calling from Louisville, and good morning. You're on with Bob Morrison, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're fine.
Well, I'm a militant libertarian. Not militant, but I'm a very strong libertarian.
Okay.
I'm a nonviolent militant.
There you go.
And I'm pro, as we say, we used to say, we're pro-choice for everything, including all the issues, including abortion. I'm very pro-choice on abortion. However, I do agree with you.
Yes.
That we should defund Planned Parenthood, not because I object to Planned Parenthood. I actually agree with many of the things that they do. But I don't think people should first be forced to fund things that they disagree with. Second, it's not constitutional. So there's nothing in the Constitution about funding private organizations by the government, so I don't think it should be done.
See, now that's where we can forge agreement among libertarians and among Democrats.
Absolutely.
Many libertarians would actually agree on that.
Of course
they
would.
I think we need to remember that the federal government can't spend one penny for anything if the House doesn't approve it. So if the Republicans stand firm and have the backbone, we can defund a lot of this stuff.
Good. That's wonderful. And thank you, sir. I want to thank you because you're a principled and honest man. And that is our point. If this is constitutional, what in the world would not be?
Yeah, that's a very good point. That is a very good point. If this is constitutional, what in the world would not be? After you, Bob, in our next hour, we're going to speak to another friend of ours and yours, I know, Jennifer Marshall, used to work with you, used to work with me. She's a senior, she's in charge of domestic policy at the Heritage Foundation, a fellow think tank. And she's going to talk about something else I think we can find agreement with libertarians on, as well as Democrats, and that's the D.C. school choice program, which had been defunded by the Democrats. You know, giving these kids an opportunity, the same opportunity President Obama's children have, seems to me like not only a grand slam home run, but to use another sports metaphor, if I get it right, a layup.
Yes. Here's the terrible irony there, and Jennifer, of course, can expand on this better than I can, but the terrible irony is this administration has cut $13 million for needy children in the District of Columbia. The same administration is proposing to increase above the $600 million that we are giving this year to the PLO. They want to give another $160 million to the PLO, where on the West Bank, they fund schools that are named for suicide bombers. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
So there you go. People say, well, where are you going to cut funds? Where are you going to cut funds? Bob just saved us about $1 billion. You just saved us about $1 billion. There's one. Bob, I want to thank you very much for joining us. We have been speaking with Bob Morrison, Robert G. Morrison, a senior fellow at the Family Research Council, one of the great men of Washington. We'll have his interview up on the website at BillBennett.com later today for those of you who want to pass it on to friends. Bob, I want to thank you again for all the work that you do and for joining us.
Thank you for everything you're doing, and I love your show and your music.
Thank you. It is Bill Bennett's show. It is Bill Bennett's Morning in America. He's in San Diego talking to the Republican Governors Association. He will be back. Looking forward to hearing his report on that. And looking forward to our guests coming up and your calls here on Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Stay tuned.